Tonight, as we enter this message time, I want you to pay close attention and keep in mind that the things that I'm going to talk about tonight are principles. They're not just a good idea. It's not just something I hope happens. These are things tonight that God set into place, and we're going to look at it in the Word. These things work because God created a principle or a law, and he set it into motion. And I'm going to have a little fun with the wording on it, but we're going to show you from the Word of God what we're talking about. So the message title tonight is Nip It in the Bud, and we'll look at what that means. You probably know what it means. We're going to take a close look tonight at the seeds that we plant in our everyday life and in our marriages, and specifically how they affect our right now and our future, because they do affect your right now and your future. The seeds you plant are important. So let's look, first of all, here in the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 26, and we'll read a few verses here. Mark, chapter 4, verse 26, and he was saying, who was saying?
Jesus.
Are you sure? Let's look. It's in red, okay. And he was saying, so this is Jesus talking. What did he say? He said, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. Now, there's already something interesting happening here because he's making a comparison, and he's saying that the kingdom of God is like this. Well, there's that kingdom of God reference again. Now, we've talked about this in previous meetings, but when you see kingdom of God, you have to understand another way that you could look at that would be to say Christ's relationship with the church even. And now we start getting really close to home because, boy, the marriage covenant that we've experienced is a direct comparison to Christ and the church. Ephesians chapter 5, we've read all about that. So when it says the kingdom of God is like this, in our marriage, we need to pay attention because we can directly relate this to something that's going on between you and your spouse. You see what I'm saying? So here we go. And he, Jesus, was saying the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And then next verse, and goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts up and grows. How? He himself does not know. And let's read the next verse. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. Okay, so there's some things going on here. We need to take a closer look. This is saying that the soil produces crops all by itself. You ever thought about that? Well, how's that happening? How did that whole thing get started? It doesn't require your outside help. It doesn't require your interference. That seed and that soil know exactly what they're doing. They don't need your help to work. They don't need your help. God designed the earth to work with seeds this way. And I'm going to show you in the Word where it says that. It is something that God set into motion, and man did not set this into motion. This is not a man-made device. Or you could just say it this way. The idea of seed, time, and harvest is a principle found in God's Word. There's nothing you can do to stop it. There's nothing you can do to change it. It's a principle. It's a law, just like gravity is a law. Gravity's a law. It works. The only way you can get around gravity is to try to supersede it with something like a law of lift. That's how planes fly. But gravity is still working the whole time. We're just superseding it with another law temporarily. But you let that plane run out of fuel and, boy, gravity's been there the whole time. Well, seed, time, and harvest is there the whole time. It's not changing. It's not going away. This is found back in Genesis 1. So let's look at this. It says right over here, then God said, God said this. First, Jesus was talking. Now, before him, back here in Genesis, God's talking. He said, God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them on the earth. And it was so. God set this in motion. He's the one that started it. It was so, and that's all you need to know. He started it. Now look over here also, we'll go to Genesis 8 and verse 22 says this, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So I guess my question is the earth remaining? The earth is remaining. Pretty sure. Earth is still here. Gravity's still in effect. So why do people get bent out of shape about global warming or all the other things that come into play? Look, it's going to get cold. It's going to get hot. We're going to have summer. We're going to have winter. We're going to have day. I'm not worried about the sun coming up tomorrow because if, as long as there's an earth, we're going to have day. We're going to have night. And guess what? They're not going to cease. But the first part of this is that there's seed time and harvest. You can't separate that. You can't take that out of there. You know, seed time and harvest, the planting of seeds, the growing of seeds, all of that, it works and it does not stop. And as long as the earth is here, this is in effect and it's not stopping. And there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing. Now, the scripture back in the book of Mark said that man planted the seed and then he just went to bed. And when he got up the next day, hey, this thing is sprouting and growing and he doesn't even know how. That's what Mark said. Now, over the years, we've used science and we've figured out some things. We figured out different ways to grow crops. Maybe you could say we're more efficient with it. We've learned how to make things sprout maybe more efficiently. We've learned to add diatomaceous earth in with the soil and make things more nutrient and seed. We've figured out some things scientifically. We even know how to remove the soil and use what they call hydroponics. We can grow plants and things without the use of the soil, but you still have to have that fertilization process there. We just substitute something else. We've learned how to do some things. Some of it's dangerous things. We've even learned how to crossbreed plants and make things like seedless watermelons and these seedless fruits and seedless grapes and stuff. They call it genetically modified. But you know, anytime you go to tampering with a principle that God has set in place, you may be able to get down the road a little ways with it and get something done. But usually, if you start tampering with a principle of God's word, and you start making things happen another way, and you alter it, you modify something genetically, you make it happen another way, usually there's hell to pay somewhere along the way. Yeah. And you might not realize it this year or 2 years from now, maybe not even five, maybe not even in your lifetime, but usually there's some other negative that comes with it when you start messing with that principle. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Does anybody here know what I'm saying? Yeah. You can't go to changing God's principles and altering them and modifying them expecting to get his results. So I'm building up to something here, if you can't tell. So there are five observations that I want to make in this little message tonight. The first one is God himself put into practice the principle that seeds, when they are planted, will grow. Nothing you can do about it. It's his process. Number one. Secondly, a seed must be sown in order to grow. Unsown seed has an unrealized harvest. Seed will not grow unless it's planted. Now, I want you to keep in mind here, we'll talk about this on point two here, I want you to understand that although what I'm saying tonight could include financial seed, you're sowing your finances, that's not what I'm talking about tonight. You could include it and you could lump it in there, but I'm talking about other kinds of seed that we'll get into that in a second. I'm not specifically talking about finances. I'm talking about matters of the heart. Number three in this little scenario is that seeds reproduce after their own kind. The fruit that grows from a seed will always be of the same kind as the seed. That's what God said. And then, fourth, after seed is planted, there is some amount of time that goes by before you see the results or eat the fruit of it. This is a very, very important point, and we're going to spend some time on this because right here, point number four, is where a lot of you are right now. And this is one of the biggest catches, one of the biggest hitches in the body of Christ is this point. And we'll get into some detail about that because I want you to see it. And then the fifth point was simply this: as long as the earth remains, this process will continue. So there's five main points. With those points in mind, let me just say that seeds can take on many, many forms. And along with that, obviously, they can be good or bad. So we're not talking about just good seed. We're talking about bad seed too. And we have to learn to know the difference between the two. This is where you, husband, you, wife, need to pay attention to this because this vitally affects your marriage, your right now, and your future. You need to pay attention. It's important to know that a seed basically represents an origin point or a beginning point, the very beginning of something. It's the point at which something begins the process of growth, and it is a process. A seed is as small as it will ever get, okay? So that thing is only getting bigger from here. That thing will turn into that thing, but it takes time. It had to be planted. It had to follow those five steps we just went over, but that works. And we can tell because you can go down to Trinity Park or you can walk out here in our own church grounds right here and you can see the result of that, can't you? You see it because you know it works. It has worked. So this starts becoming very important when you start considering the power of seeds in the light of your marriage. Your seeds, the seeds that you plant by your words, we've talked about words before, but you can plant seeds by your words or your actions, or, this is where a lot of people miss it, the absence of your words or actions. Ooh, that's a big one. Ask any wife here, what you do and what you say have a powerful impact on your spouse. It literally does set the course of how that seed is going to grow, where it's been planted, how it's been planted, how it's been nourished. The seeds of your words and your actions are a direct example. Now listen to this. The seeds of your words and your actions are a direct example to those around you of what you believe in, what you support, what you love, what you hate, what you tolerate. But like it or not, your seeds, they locate you. You're the sower. You get to choose. You get to choose what seed you're going to sow. That is so important. Think about that a second. You're the sower. You get to pick up that bag of seed. You get to choose which seed's in the bag, and you get to scatter the seed. You're not forced to do one thing or another. You get to choose what you sow, which brings another point. The simple fact is that the harvest, or you could say it like this, the fruit that you are currently experiencing in your life is the direct result of the seeds that you have already sown in the past. So next time you're complaining, just think you sowed the seed that got you to where you are. Well, I don't know why she's acting like that. Well, there's a good chance you've already said something over there that led to that over there. If you don't like the plants that are growing, check out the seeds that you're sowing. Keep in mind those original 5 points. God himself put seed time and harvest into practice. A Seed has to be sown in order to grow. Seeds reproduce after their own kind. It's taken some amount of time, and it's not going to stop. So what are you going to do? Let's talk for just a few minutes about some of the different kinds of seed that you may have planted in your marriage. Some of you will be very familiar with these. Some of you much more familiar than others. First, I'm just going to call it this. I'm going to call it a need seed. Now, this is when you say things or you do things to your spouse that are definitely grudgingly or of necessity. Your heart is not in it at all. You just did what you needed to do at the time to get through the situation. You just met the need. I'll do it. But I sure ain't happy about it. Oh, I'll do it, all right. I'll do it. Oh, yeah. We'll see how you like the result after I did it. Yeah, we'll see if you still feel the same way asking me to do that. So we'll just call that one need seed. You might be able to identify. I don't know, but you might. So let's just take a look at another one. We'll call this one feed seed. Now, this is when you completely miss the opportunity. You know, you come over here and you've got the opportunity. But when you completely miss the opportunity to do something good or right, because basically you're just in it for yourself. Your entire focus is to just eat the seed yourself. And I want you to keep in mind, if you eat your seed instead of plant it, it will not satisfy, because you can't eat seed and it satisfy. The thing that's so supposed to be satisfying for you is the harvest on the seed. You're supposed to eat the fruit of it, not the seed of it. The seed is made for planting. The fruit is made for eating. Just like you think about, even when it does come to money, we talk about bread. Even one of the slang terms for money is bread. Well, bread is done. It's been through the process of being seed and grain. It's been smashed up. It's been put together with other ingredients. It's been cooked. It's the finished product. The bread is the finished product. We eat the bread, but we don't eat the seed. We don't eat that, or we'd never get the bread. You don't plant bread. It doesn't work backwards. I can't take this plant and stuff it in the ground and cover it over with everything and expect it to live. This comes from the seed, not the other way around. But when you talk about feed seed, if you just totally miss the opportunity to do something good because you're being selfish, you could have done this thing for your wife. You could have done this for your husband, but your attention was on you. Why should I do this nice thing? She's probably not even going to notice anyway. Don't tell me you haven't thought that or said it. Let's take a look at the next one. Weed seed. Now this is getting serious, because this is the seed that grows up with the good seed that's been planted, and it chokes it out. That's what the Bible talks about. You've read this. These are familiar passages. This is the kind of seed that can completely undo the results of the good seed that's already in the ground. I've done so good for so long. And I've told her I loved her every day for 30 years. Every day. Just because I griped her out today, why should that thing? If you're planting weed seed, you just have to understand it could undo the results of good seed you've already got in the ground. It could literally nullify all the work you've done up to this point. That's no fun. This is the negativism that occurs in marriage when the husband refuses or is incapable of weeding the garden. You guys have a responsibility for keeping the weeds out of the garden. All right, let's look at the next one. There's also greed seed. Now, this is seed that when it's grown is only interested in individual, personal gain with no respect or concern of the spouse. It's just greedy. And here's how the seed gets planted. Well, that's my money. Well, that's my account. That's my car. Hey, I had this car before you even came into the marriage. Hey, this account, hey, I had $5,000 in this account before we got married, and here we are a year into it, and you've already taken it down to $500. It's greed. It's your focus is on you and your gain with no respect at all to how it goes for the spouse. And it can go the other way. I know I'm picking on the guys a little bit, but ladies, hey, you've got that thing that you had, that thing you were expecting, it was going to be this way all your life, and everything was going fine until this guy came along. And now he doesn't want the table that was your great-grandmother's table or the thing or the vase or the whatever. You got to watch it. It can be greedy. It can be greedy. Now, the other important thing about greed seed, and I'm only going to base this on fact, the fact that when I talk to people like every week in my office who have issues going through things, it is that seed right there, the greed seed, that primarily is the origin point of divorce most of the time. When you get the mine and hers, let the his and hers just be embroidered on your towel or something and let it stop there. And probably not even that. So you got to watch that stuff. Okay, here's another one. Deed seeds. This is when you do or say something to your spouse only to be noticed, only to get the attention on yourself. You could also say this deed seed is like brownie point seed, you could say. I know a lot of you guys are familiar with that term, maybe a little more, brownie point, earning some brownie points. If I go dress shopping for 3 hours and I'm patient and I don't say anything, then I could get then, watch it. See, I told you some of y'all are very familiar with this. You're revealing yourself. This kind of seed, the deed seed, is what's used as bribery, bargaining, blackmail seed. It's a seed that you plant that you're only planting so that you can get something else. It openly displays your absolute selfishness to everyone around you, but especially to your spouse and your family. You think you do it and hide it, and you don't. Everybody sees it. Here's another one. Speed seed. This is when you lead incorrectly by example because you jump into things too quickly, not even knowing the details, not even praying about it. This kind of seed doesn't even really consider God in the matter at all. You just go for it. You don't need God's help. You've already sized up the situation. You've already got the plan. You've already got the investment, whether this, that, or the other. You've already got the decision. There's really, really no need for God's involvement. This is the kind of seed that says, you know, thank God, God, thank you, but I've got this. Speed seed. Okay, there's one more. I'll leave you with this one. Probably my favorite. It's plead seed. Now, let me explain this to you. This is when you give in to your spouse because they are simply begging or pleading with you to do something. Many times, I'm going to read this the way I wrote it. Many times, this is where true leadership goes out the window. The man steps out of his godly role in the family as the head of the union and proceeds to take his pants off and hand them to his wife, who will not need them because she is already has the pants in the family and is quite comfortable wearing them. If you're joining us live, this is the New Conquerors Club, meeting number 15. I'll read it again because it's fun to read. Many times this is where true leadership goes out the window. The man steps out of his godly role in the family as the head of the union and proceeds to take his pants off and hand them to his wife, who will not need them because she is already wearing the pants in the family and is quite comfortable wearing them. This is usually the beginning of the end, because this is genetically modified seed in its highest form. And here's why. It is attempting to change the roles of each spouse that God Himself put into place. Do we need to go read Ephesians chapter 5 again? We can. You know, when you step out of your role, it's going to go wrong. You've got to watch what kind of seed you're planting. Seeds will make or break your marriage. If you knowingly, willingly, and purposely plant negative seeds in your marriage, then do not be surprised if you receive a terrible harvest. And the reverse is also true. If you knowingly, willingly, and purposely plant positive, godly seeds in your marriage, don't be surprised when a wonderful harvest comes your way. It works both ways. Seed is seed, and when it's planted, it will grow. The good news is this. Even though a small seed can grow into a huge tree, it is also most vulnerable and at its weakest state when it's in seed form. Think about that. That means that there's no better time to take care of a bad seed than at the very beginning. At its infancy, it's most vulnerable, its weakest state. So if I came back over here and I have my thing growing over here, and I got my stuff going. Got all this going in here, and I've planted, and there's been some time go by, and I've been watering this, and everything's going fine, and all that. And then I get this little, over a little time, I get a little bitty thing coming up. Well, that's a little tiny little weak thing. You know that anybody in this room could easily come along, and if we knew that was a bad negative seed, if we knew that that thing was going to grow up and choke out our marriage because of something stupid we did or said or some move we made that was so ungodly or what, if we knew it and we saw it and it was at that vulnerable weak stage, we could come along with just two fingers and just go, yeah, pluck that thing out of there and never have to worry about it again. It's at its most vulnerable, its weakest stage at the beginning. That's not where the problem is. A bad seed or even a seed that started to sprout can easily be plucked out and destroyed. But if you nourish it and let it grow for a while, you've got a real problem. Thus the title of the message, Nip It in the Bud. You got to get it when it's small. That's on the negative side. Now, I'm about to start talking to you about something that's very important. I hope you can pay good attention to this. Frustration can really come into your mind and your marriage when you do not understand this thing called germination time. It happens with all seeds that are planted, and we're going to talk just briefly about it. When you don't take into account the dormant time of seeds. Now, some of you are gardeners, and you probably know this better than me. But I've read a whole lot. When a seed is planted, there is something that occurs next called dormant time. There is seed, there is time, that's what we're talking about now, and then there's a harvest. Things take time. Once a good seed or a bad seed is planted, there's always this period of time that goes by before the resulting plant is actually seen breaking the surface and sprouting. That time period can vary, obviously, depending on a lot of different things. How moist is the ground? How sunny is it? What's the quality of the soil? And on and on. Did we have a freeze? Did we not have a freeze? All these things can affect it. That period of time is called dormant time or seed dormancy. I thought this was a marriage class. Well, I'm fixing to give you a mouthful here, so hang on. It doesn't look like that terrible seed that you planted is going anywhere. Whew. Squeaked through that one. I told him I hated him, and took all their money and chewed her out, but nothing really came of it, so I guess I'm off the hook on that deal. I said that terrible thing, nothing really happened. Or on the other side, you know, I've been purposely going out of my way to bless my spouse and do kind things all the time. But it's like they hadn't even noticed. Nothing's happening. I've been giving and giving and doing the right thing, and it just seems like I'm going nowhere. But I want to let you know that the dormant time is not no time, it's grow time. As it turns out that there's a whole science behind all of this, and you could read all these charts and look at all these diagrams and stuff, but the bottom line is things take time. And this dormancy thing is something that's really real, and we need to consider it with the seeds that we're planting in our marriage. Seed dormancy has two main functions, and here they are. The first one is called synchronized germination. This is when, remember back in the book of Genesis when God set it in motion, remember in the book of Mark when they talked about this, this is when the seed itself is working with the soil, waiting for the optimal conditions to grow. Seeds do that. They do that because God put it into action that way. That's the science that backs it up. But God knew that all along because he said, I want things to grow this way, and it is so. And that's it. The second thing is called spreading germination. This is when the seed itself is working with the soil to spread the growth of a batch of seeds over a period of time. So you've got seeds in all different stages of growth. The seed does that. It works with the soil to do that. And here's why. So that if a catastrophe happens, all of the seeds won't die. And since you don't know when the catastrophe is coming, that's why they call it an accident or a catastrophe, you don't know it's coming. Since the seed and the soil don't know when the catastrophe is going to come, well, what's a catastrophe? Well, I mean, in a seed's case, it could be frost, it could be flooding, it could be an animal digging something up. I mean, it could be anything. You don't know when the terrible thing is going to happen in your life. You don't know when the loved one's going to pass away, or the friend is going to say something horrible about you, or somebody's going to take you to court. You can't tell in advance most of the time when the terrible thing is going to happen. But that's why this is important. The seed that you plant, and in our case, we're talking about planting good seeds and working in cooperation with the Word of God, because the Word of God will make your good seeds grow and come into fruition and be these hyper, super positive things in your life that will carry you through these things. The bottom line is that God made seed to work with the earth to grow and to have the best chance of survival. And the same is true with the seeds that you plant. You see, some things need to be planted and some things need to be pruned. Some seeds need to be watered and some need to be weeded. You've got to get the bad stuff out. You've got to get the good stuff in. So then we could say it like this. Plant good seed. Don't plant bad seed. Nourish good seed planted. Nip bad seeds planted. That's about as simple as it gets right there. Now, the Holy Ghost helps us to know whether to nip it or nourish it. But you've got to decide whether you want it to grow or whether you want it to go. That's up to you. You get a choice. Things that are planted will grow up if they're cultivated. Good things will grow up to be great things. And bad things will grow up to be terrible things. We've got to learn to be patient while the good things grow, but quick to take action on the bad. Quick to change, quick to repent. I'm sorry. I love you. Wow, you look great tonight. Is that a new dress? Let me give you some more money. But rest assured, weeding your garden can be messy business. But it's worth it. messy business. This dirt is dirt for a reason, because it's dirty. It gets on you. It messes with you. It makes a mess. It gets all over the place. It's a mess. All the people that have OCD are just freaking out right now. We're checking OCD levels. Lori West is going crazy about now. It's on the edge. It can be messy business. That's why when you see those gardening bags, they usually have one of those kneeling pads in it. There's a reason for that, because in order to get all the weeds out, sometimes you have to spend a lot of time on your knees. And honestly, just being gut level honest, most people aren't willing to do it. But it's going to take weed in your garden out. You got to locate those things that are negative, that negatively affect your life and negatively affect your marriage. You've got to take action and do something about it. And one of the best things you could do is spend some time on your knees praying also, and then there might need to be some corresponding action and words that go with it, like the things I was saying, like, I'm sorry I said that terrible thing. That was wrong of me. I shouldn't have done that. Here's some extra money. Get that in mind. As a bribe. Because I've got deed seed. See, the devil always shows you the worst case scenario about the good that God wants to do in your life. He's the one that always comes along and said, well, God's going to make you a missionary. That's great, but he's going to send you to the worst place in Africa. You can hardly imagine. You're going to starve to death. The devil will always show you the worst. The devil will come along and he'll also make sin and pleasure and enjoyment to seem like the great thing, the awesome thing. And there is pleasure in it for a short time. But then it's a bad seed that's planted, and then it grows up and chokes out the good, and it can do away with it. You see this played out even in the media so often, even with ministers and stuff that have fallen. I mean, it ended up being a bad incident that happened, came along and choked out. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen it. So much good was done, and then something negative comes along and chokes it out. If you're not paying attention and you're not careful with this, you've got to guard your heart and you've got to weed your garden, because those same things are, you're not exempt from that. It doesn't matter if you've been married 2 months or 2 years or 200 years. It doesn't matter. You are not exempt from the fact that seeds will grow when they're planted. It's not going to stop. But you do get to determine what kind of seed you plant and what you nourish and what you nip and what you clip off. You get to determine that. One of the worst seeds that you can ever plant is the seed of fear. Because fear will grow up and dominate everything. It will take over. Now, I'm telling you that from firsthand experience. I've dealt with fear. I think I could honestly say I've dealt with some form of fear most all of my life. And it was probably the result of seed that was sown in me when I was young. And certain situations, you know how that different things can affect you differently in your life and stuff. And so I've spent years overcoming certain areas of this. And it's taken the Word of God. It's taken my spouse, who's helped me in different ways. She's the balance to that and will come along and show me how I don't need to let these runaway thoughts go too far. And next thing, because I'm the guy that's compartmentalized, and I'm the guy that would typically be your worry wart guy. I'm the guy that would, have one negative thing happen, and then my mind, if I don't stop it, if I don't get in the Word, or my wife doesn't help me in some way, I can let that thought run and run and run and run, and the next thing you know, we're 10, 15 years down the road, and all this negative stuff has happened, and nothing's happened yet. What is that? That's a seed that's trying to be planted. And when she comes along, or the Word comes along, or I make the choice to say, wait a second, that's nipping it in the bud. That's what I'm talking about. So when the runaway thought comes, when the fear thought comes, when the premature death thought comes, when the financial investment and ruin for your life thought comes, when the I'm never going to get that car or that house, or we're never going to get out of debt, whatever it is, when those thoughts come, that's when you have to nip it. Right then, you've got to jump on it and nip it. While it's weak and vulnerable, you can just flick it right out of there. But if you wait and you think about it and you ponder it and you let it go and go and go, next thing you know, well, you've got a, not a big tree, but maybe it's only a couple inches in diameter. Go try to just pull that out with your hands. No, at this point, you're already going to need a truck. You know, and then you let it go a few more years and you let that thought roll on. Maybe that thought is, well, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe he's not the one. You know I'm telling you the truth. One of the worst seeds that can be planted is fear, because it can run away and dominate. However, on the flip side, one of the best seeds you can plant is love, because it will also grow up and dominate, will take over. If you let love consume you and plant the seeds of love in your marriage and your friends and your other relationships, whatever it may be, then you're going to be surrounded by this strong root system. You're going to have this root system. So let me sum it up this way. I'm going to bring this to a close. The best use of life is love. Love should be our top priority. It should be our primary focus, our greatest ambition. Love. Life without love is pretty much worthless. And that's what I think Paul was saying in the New Testament when he said, no matter what I say, no matter what I believe, no matter what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. That's what I think he's saying. So what is the best use of my life? It's to love. It's to plant the seed of love wherever I can. And particularly in your marriage. And then secondly, the best expression of love is time. Important things can be measured by how much time we invest in them. Time is your most precious gift. And here's why. You only have a certain amount of it. You can always work harder and make more money, but you can't make more time. You only have this. And honestly, you don't know how much of it you have. You could go to your bank account and count it out and say, I've got 20, 40, I've got $68. I've got it. There it is. I've got it. I know how much money I have. But you don't necessarily know how much time you have. Relationships take time and effort. And the best way to spell love is T-I-M-E. So the best use of life is love. The best expression of love is time. And lastly, the best time to love is now. The Bible says whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. Use every chance you have for doing good. So today, tonight, this marks the beginning of the rest of the time that you have, whatever it is. And life is about love. This whole seed planting business, like we saw earlier, it's real. It's set in motion by God, and it's not going to stop. I challenge you in your thought life, just consider as you go through your life this week, whatever you do through the busyness of all the stuff that you do, that you take a look at the seeds that you're planting and decide whether it's worth planting that one or not. Or maybe you should pull that seed out and put in some good. We all have to do that, and I'm not exempt from the challenge myself. I've got to do this better. I'm not asking you to do something that I'm not going to do myself. I've got to take a fresh look at this. I'm not exempt from any of the stuff I ever say in here, ever. You know, fortunately for me, I've got the good end of the deal here with Miriam, because she's perfect in all of these things. See, that's planting good seed. But here, like, here's an example. Now, it was not brownie point season. Like, here's an example. Guys or ladies, either one, when you do something nice or you do something that you know your spouse would like or that they would appreciate, and you do it at a time when you don't necessarily have anything to gain back from it. You're not doing something just to get some other result. When you do something and there's really no connection to anything else that you could benefit, that's a good seed. That's a good seed. A good example of that would be to do something nice. I mean, if you were to buy her a gift, or you were to take her flowers, or buy her a piece of jewelry, or get her connected with maybe one of her girlfriends so they could do something. Whatever that is, if you did that at a time when you had nothing to benefit back from it, she'll know that. And the same is true for the ladies. If you do something at a time and you're just genuinely, honestly doing something nice for him, not so that you can turn around and also say, and by the way, the yard needs cutting. You know, that's just being real. So just consider those things. We got to watch our seeds.